Hey everyone, Evan Damerill here, co-host of Locked On Cavs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. On today's episode, Chris Manning and I are sticking to the formula where we talk about a draft prospect, a team to trade with, and an upcoming free agent. In today's episode, we talk about Dayton's Obi Toppin, the Portland Trail Blazers, and Andre Roberson. So thanks for tuning in. If you're a first-time listener after checking us out on WKYC, or if you're a returning listener, Chris and I both really appreciate it. But today's episode of Locked On Cavs is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Chris, how you doing? I know we talked a little bit before we started recording, but all things considered, how you doing?
Doing, man. I'm doing on this as we're getting going here. And this is not like my in terms of like my mental state and the kismet of the draft prospect we're going to talk about, yeah. You know, it's actually pretty fitting. And especially as we're recording this on Tuesday, October 20th for this Thursday episode. So you guys are hearing this a little early, but there was a mock draft. I'm not going to call it out that had the Cavs picking Toppin. And I would say a pretty high profile mock draft. And even though I don't believe that pick was like sourced, it was just logicked out. I don't think the logic holds up, which we're going to talk about.
No, for sure, and I feel like I know which mock draft you're talking about, but there's multiple that link Mr. Toppin.
There is one in particular that came out on the 20th that I think we maybe both saw.
Yeah, I think we're both thinking the same thing. We won't name names or anything, yes. But Sloppy Toppin, that's what the Cavs would be getting here with Obi, and I'm not a huge fan of him, Chris. I'm going to ask you first. Ignoring him going to the Cleveland aside, how do you feel overall about Obi Toppin as a prospect? Because, I mean, I understand the appeal and the upside, but we'll get to it and why we don't like him for the Cavs. But I just want to know how you feel about him just overall.
There's stuff I really like. Very athletic, can finish, can do a lot of modern big things in terms of his ability. You know, can shoot the three a little bit, but isn't like, yeah, like taking them at a kind of a harmful way, right? Like isn't just like taking them for the sake of taking them. You know, he can really run the floor. He can pass a little bit out of the short roll.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you put him in the right situation, this is a guy that could be really interesting and probably help a team in a real way. There's clear defensive concerns. I think for him, like, you know, Trevor pointed this out, and you watch the tape and you read everything about him. Like, he clearly just doesn't have an idea to how to defend the pick and roll. And when I watch like Dayton games, the defensive highlights he has are like him kind of gambling and like kind of being just a lot more athletic than a lot of the guys he's playing against. And that to me is like a good sign in some ways, but also like kind of concerning. You know, I don't like if one of his outcomes for him is like playing a small ball five and he doesn't really know how to defend a pick and roll adequately, at least as of yet, and that's a hard thing to learn. It's one of the harder things, I think, for a big to learn, and defense is much harder to learn at the NBA level than offense. Like, he could be such a negative on that end, I think, to at least start his career, that it's concerning. But I think if he goes to the right place, I could see him being, like, one of the better players from this class. It's just I think his landing spot is going to have a big impact on him. Because, there's stuff about him as a modern big that I like, and in a different world, and then with a slightly adjusted roster, I think you could see him making sense in Cleveland. But what do you think of? And we've talked about him a lot. I think we did a whole episode on why we don't like the fit.
I think so too.
Who knows? 2020 is weird. But what do you make of him?
Like you said, I like him if he lands in an ideal situation. I think like a Golden State or a team that has a stable of veterans or better options on offense that don't need to heavily rely on Obi to start his NBA career is an ideal landing spot for him. But like, his high ceiling potential is he could be like a floor spacing four that has elite vertical gravity, and he can provide good horizontal gravity as well. And then maybe, like you said, he relies on his athleticism and gambles too much defensively. Maybe that's a coaching thing, and maybe he's properly coached where he can just be an adequate defender, which, you know, it doesn't seem like it's asking a lot of him to begin with, but in today's day and age in NBA, like, who knows? But I like him as a prospect. I think he's a fun player. I think he, if a bad team that is, like, desperate to fill the seats, like Detroit as an example, like, they're a team that is struggling to fill their brand new arena right now with fan interest. Like, you bring in a player like Obi Toppin, who is a household name because he won National Player of the Year. He was one of the most exciting prospects in college last season. Like, a lot of casual fans, a lot of casual Cavs fans are, like, all in on the idea of the Cavs taking Obi, because, and I can understand that as well, because from a marketing standpoint, it's easy to sell that to fans. It's kind of like the Jimmer Fredette effect, I like to call it. Like, when the Sacramento Kings selected Jimmer, I feel like, in the power of hindsight now, the only reason they did that was to drum up hype, because I think Jimmer's jersey was like a best-selling jersey on the NBA shop for, in terms of Kings jerseys, like next to DeMarcus Cousins, which is wild to think about too. But Obi can do kind of that as well. But in terms of fit, I absolutely hate it with the Cavs currently, like, construct. Like you said, the Cavs can make a lot of moves to make this fit work, but as it stands right now, a lot of those pieces Cleveland would have to move would take a lot of legwork and a lot of shuffling of the deck, and it doesn't really seem plausible in any given scenario. And I mean, Kobe Altman can surprise me like he always does. And what I'm getting at is Kevin Love needs to go. Andre Drummond needs to go. Larry Nance Jr. needs to be comfortable playing, still coming off the bench. Tristan Thompson, you know, maybe can't come back either. There's a lot of key pieces you have to rip out of the foundation of Cleveland right now in order to make Obi Toppin work. And that's why I just don't think he's a plausible prospect, despite every national outlet linking Obi to Cleveland. And I've heard nothing but from people I've spoken to close with Cleveland's thinking is Obi isn't very high on their list to begin with, and I don't really get it. So
yeah, I don't get the vibe that I think they like are skeptical of a lot of the things we're talking about. I think all the smoke right now is sort of like, if a big were to fall into their lap, they would take Wiseman.
Yes, even a Kongwu.
They prefer a wing here, and I think that's the right call. I think you're right about the Love and Drummond thing. I think, like, if you wanted to this offseason, the Cavs wanted to do something that I think would be all in on their youth, and I think would actually be kind of interesting. Like, you move on from Love, and you do kind of a salary dump deal for him that they don't want to do, and put him in a winning situation, and you flip Drummond somewhere. You know, like, you could do that and figure it out and go on and, like, spend your mid-level on Nerlens Noel, or maybe you get a center back in a trade, and then you take Toppin, and, you know, you roll into next year with, like, a really young team, but, you know, your identity is sort of fleshed out in some way, right? Yeah. I don't think the market is in the past, they've been obviously resistant to trade Love in that way, and I don't really know what the market is for Drummond. Unless you're taking something crazy back. Like, Zach Lowe, on his most recent post, was, like, floated the Wiggins thing with Drummond going there. And, like, you're taking back Wiggins if that's kind of the case. So, like, there's and that's a negative contract and more long-term money than you're paying Drummond. So there's some concerns there. The other thing I would say about Toppin is I just don't see how picking him lines up with any of the stated goals the Cavs had, right? So,
yep.
I would say the biggest goal JB Bickerstaff lined out at their in-market workouts was that they want to improve on defense. They want to, like, take a step forward, get closer to being, like, a more competent defensive team.
Yes.
Toppin is not that is not an outcome for Toppin as a rookie. That is not, like, his best outcomes do not involve him being, like, a five-tool switchable defender. Like, if he can become, like, solid enough and, like, use his body and use his frame and defend bigs well, like, that's a win. It's going to be a big learning curve for him. And on the other side of this, too, I would argue that while you need good defense at the rim, you need someone there who, like, knows what they're doing and have a big that can kind of hang in a lot of ways. I think more modern defense is built outside in than it is inside out. The game has shifted. Toppin is not going to help you with that. And if your stated goal is, let's improve on defense, let's empower that end of the floor, Toppin, who isn't a defensive prospect, and if you bring him into this roster as constructed, you know, isn't a fit in a way, like, you have to play him at the three.
Yeah.
Like, to in certain instances, like, you're going to be bad defensively, and I just don't see how that vibes with anything with what the Cavs are putting out.
No, I 100% agree, and you can't play him at the three. He's a four and a small ball five, like Trevor has told us and shared with us, and him playing at a three, I feel like, is a disservice to him. It's like the Kings thinking Marvin Bagley's a three kind of thing, and I don't really want the Cavs to become the Kings East. But before we wrap up this segment, Chris, this is just a simple yes or no question. Let's say this new CBA introduces an amnesty clause and the Cavs use theirs on Kevin Love to let him to get his money off the books and to let him sign at the contender if it's Portland, Los Angeles, whatever. Would you then be comfortable with the Cavs taking Obi, or would you rather them still take a wing?
I'm all in on the wing still. My ideology on this, I think, is pretty rigid. I'm willing to hear the argument for it. I've Mike Bassetti made the argument on this show, but I think you just take the wing that can actually fill a long term, that has been something that has been a need for your franchise for a long time, and that's a big defensive wing who could, like, maybe shoot a little bit and improve, but, like, can provide a skill that is essential. I think even if you amnesty Love, like, you could go get a different guy to kind of do this stuff. Topo, you could just let Larry Nance do more of that stuff for a year and figure it out later. I would still just take the wing.
No, I totally agree with you in that regard. And speaking of key defensive components that, you know, can hopefully grow and mesh with you, maybe you need a little bit for your car with the winter season coming along, Chris, because rock salt and everything else can really afflict the lower body of your car, you know? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Check them out today at RockAuto.com. And with that, Chris and I will be right back to talk about the Portland Trailblazers and how the Cavs probably won't trade for CJ McCollum. Chris, as we maintain talking about trading and everything else, another trade partner that you've kind of jumped up for us is the Portland Trailblazers. And, you know, the trade you linked, I don't hate, but it's not my favorite. But I think getting Kevin Love to Portland is the move here, because it'd be nice to send him home to his home team that he grew up with, even though it was the Lakers. But, you know, I don't know. I think Portland would be a fun trade partner. How about you?
I do. And the framework of this deal that I have here in particular is one that I'm basically okay with it.
Yeah.
If Kevin would be cool with it, like, if I just don't the more and more, like, I ask about this and talk to people about this and listen to smarter people that have better connections in the league than me, like, talk about Kevin Love, I just don't think the kind of package the Cavs wanted a year ago is probably out there.
It's not.
It's not. And there's financial implications of a deal like this for other teams that the Cavs have to kind of, like, wonder if it's even out there at this point than it would have been a year ago, right? Like, we just don't know, because, like, teams are gonna, we don't really know how, like, any team is gonna spend. Like, I wrote that mailbag the other day, for instance, about the buying another pick, and I'm, like, not convinced that, even though Dan Gilbert is extremely wealthy and he could do it, like, I don't know if any team is necessarily gonna, like, buy picks in the same way they might have last year, just because mm-hmm. of potential revenue issues. Like, I'm not convinced that, like, wealth is just going to be thrown around by people that can do it. And I think if a team is worried about the tax at all and everything like that, like, I just think, you know, there are going to be, I think, some financial considerations for a deal like this, and we'll see where that kind of leaves us in a lot of ways. But if Kevin's going to go anywhere, and it's going to, I think this is kind of one of the more logical fits for him, and it's one that, to me, in some ways, is just feels more right than, like, Brooklyn or something like that.
No, I totally agree. And I think the interesting wrinkle with this trade that you laid out, which for those we're discussing, is Portland sends the Cavs Trevor Ariza and a 2021 first round pick that's top 10 protected for Kevin Love. The interesting wrinkle here is Ariza's contract isn't fully guaranteed next season. So the 2020 to 2021 season, what a tongue twister there, isn't fully guaranteed. It's only partially guaranteed. So the Cavs could waive Ariza if he wants to, you know, sign with a team and be a veteran that contributes to, let's say, like the Lakers or something on a cheap deal. Like, the Cavs can completely get off Kevin Love's contract in this scenario. And the only reason it gives me pause again is it gives Dan Gilbert and the Cavs the temptation to fuck around and do something stupid in this free agency class as well, which makes me worried. But yeah, you know, like you said, I don't think the Cavs are realistically going to get what they're looking for Kevin. I think a young prospect or a first round pick along with salary for a player that could, you know, contribute meaningfully is just a little bit unrealistic at this point, especially because, like you said, the league's going to be a lot more frugal next year just because of the implications of the coronavirus, with fans being unable to be in the stands and just so many revenue sources just running dry next year. It's going to be tough. And I think a lot of teams are going to be looking to sell their picks, but I don't know if Cleveland's going to necessarily be looking to buy because they already are operating with razor-thin margins, being so close to the cap threshold to begin with. And the fact that they are vying to get fans in the stands next year, but they will be doing it at such a reduced rate, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really awkward and really clunky. And I think adding a second first-round pick is unrealistic, but adding first-round picks for next year, and Portland could be a okay-ish team next year. Like, it could be a middle of the first-round pick next year. And with how loaded the 2021 draft is, and hopefully with things maybe being back to normal, knock on wood, vote for Joe Biden if you can, folks. Maybe then the Cavs can really say, like, okay, let's bring in two more rookies. But at that point, also, Cleveland needs to start figuring out what they're doing. But that's a bridge we'll cross later on. So future picks, all for it. Like, it's just assets for you to accumulate for grander schemes later on.
Yeah, and I think if you're looking at a place for – like, if you're looking at this – because I think one of the things that's been out there a little bit with Kevin is, like, the Cavs are I don't think are just going to, like, dump him into like a situation that doesn't make sense for him. Like, I don't think they're gonna like send him into the abyss. I think they don't want to do him dirty like that. And there's not like the immediate pressure of like having to send Al Horford somewhere, like if you're Philly, and like trading him to Sacramento, which again, I have no issue with Sacramento. I'm assuming like that's not like that's not where like Al Horford wanted to go or anything like that. Like, I don't think the Cavs are going to necessarily do something like that unless like it just kind of, maybe the relationship just fractures in a way, and or they get an offer they can't really turn down and stuff like that. But if they are going to send him somewhere, like Portland for Kevin would be like, I think, a good fit, because he's with CJ, he's with Dame. Like, that's a veteran team that's kind of on his timeline age wise. Like, he can play with Nurk, he can play with Zach Collins, and those guys can provide him with, he can provide them spacing. He can kind of space the floor for those guys and go back to sort of that optimal role he had with LeBron and Kyrie a little bit at a lesser level, obviously, but like then they can provide him defensive cover. Nurk and Collins both can shot block, both are mobile, both can kind of do some of the stuff to kind of take some of the burden off of him. And I think, you know, I think the biggest question would really be, you know, does Portland want to do it amid the current financial reality? You know, they've rumored the tax, but if they take Love on, based on the quick looking at this I did, they would go into the tax. But for the Cavs, I agree with you. Like, I love just I don't think you want another pick this year. You're gonna just have so many bodies, and a year from now, like, you could move on from certain guys and kind of clear some room out and kind of have a better clear need of your roster. But another pick, you know, in 2021, because let's say like you get a top 10 pick in 2021, and you take, let's just say they take let's just say they get number one and they take Cade, right? Like NBA. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that happens. Like, and you can get something like the, you know, the 15th, 16th pick, like, because I think you would probably have to take like top 10 protection on this pick. I don't think you're getting this unprotected, which is fine. But then if you could pick in the teens range, like, there are bigs that theoretically could be there, right? Like, you could get another forward, but there's Usman Gobera from Real Madrid, who's a 6'8 big you could look at. There are some guards you could look at if you wanted to go that way. Like, there are some other wings you could go that are going that way. Like, there are options for you in that class, even if they're not necessarily like the most perfect players for you. I do think, like, I'd rather just have the pick a year from now when your roster is a little bit more clear and you can kind of figure that out from there. And I think it's probably, to me, one of the things where if Kevin goes somewhere, it makes sense for him, and the Cavs get something out of it, like, I think you can end that relationship on good terms. I think it's really just, you know, does Portland want to do that necessarily? Is that, like, the kind of thing they want to do? And is the money going to be a thing for there? But it wouldn't. And if also with Ariza, I think you could maybe flip him somewhere for, like, a second-round pick and get another asset. Like, I think this is the keep accumulating assets and stock the cupboard. So if you want to make another move where you need to give up something, you'll have the ammunition to do it.
No, I totally agree. And I sadly have to ask you this, but do you not think CJ McCollum is a available target for the Cavs? We can't have another hometown mascot like Larry Nance Jr. to prop up and wear Browns jerseys and say, you know what, CJ McCollum gets us, like Larry Nance gets us and like Colin Sexton gets us. Is that the sad reality you're about to tell me?
I think so. I just don't see why Portland would do that deal. I'm a big McCollum fan. Like, oh, there are some people on NBA Twitter who think he's a little overrated, and I can kind of get that, but he's so good at getting shots off in a way that is like a real, real high level skill, and I just have an affinity for him. So I think if you could do that, you call that in. You would just do the swap if you could, right?
Yeah.
I think that McCollum has like much higher value, and he probably gives something up. So I think if you're Portland, they're probably going all in. I'd have to look at like the contract timelines. I think they're all sort of roughly on the same. Him, Damon, all those guys would kind of be on the same timeline, so like it would kind of make sense in that regard. But yeah, I don't think you're getting McCollum back if you flip Love there.
That's unfortunate. And I'm looking at pictures of young CJ McCollum playing with other former Canton Glen Oak legend Costa Kufos, and boy oh boy, he really did grow up a lot. Because like
that picture is my favorite picture of a young NBA player. It's just really funny
when they're playing St. X.
Yeah, it's just hilarious.
Yeah, it's just like watching a very small child play with grown men. That's what it looks like.
I just like would love to like it's, and it's funny that like the guy who looked like a child in that ended becoming like a much better professional.
Yeah.
You know, than thing. And just as for the record on this, Dame can be, I think it looks like one of the Key Smith cap sheets. And if I'm misreading this, I apologize, but, Nurk is signed through the 2022 season. He has a non-guarantee on his contract, it looks like, for that year, but I would be shocked if that wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah.
McCollum is signed through 2024. Dame can get an extension that could take him through 2025. I believe he's eligible now for an extension that would kind of re-up him there or keep him out of the free agent market for next summer. Yeah. And Kevin, as we know, is signed through 2023. So he would be roughly on the timeline of what you would be kind of doing with Dame and CJ there. So it would kind of make some sense for Kevin if he wants one last kind of playoff situation. That's probably the most obvious one to me. We'll talk about more of these, I'm sure. It's just the most obvious one to me.
No, for sure. I totally agree. And I think, yeah, no, I know I proposed him getting Kevin getting traded to the Lakers. That's a little bit of a pipe dream, in my opinion. But, hey, I don't know. I think if the Cavs want to do right by Kevin, sending to a team like Portland would be the right step to take.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. I think that's going to do it for us, though, talking about trading with Portland, because my heart's just going to keep breaking over CJ McCollum. So, Chris, well, before we head into the next segment, why don't you tell us about our other great sponsor for today's episode?
Yeah, first I want to tell you guys about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, and the new improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. There's caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia among the 6 new amazing flavors, and there's also some of the 12 original flavors available as well, including banana bread, coffee almond, coconut, and mint brownie, which is a favorite of Locked On Bengals host and friend of the program, James Rapine. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. And they're really healthy. They're great for the health conscious guy out there. They're low sugar, high fiber, high protein, low calorie, great for a keto diet. And, you know, look at cookies and cream, for example, a flavor that is in my rotation of Built Bars. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. Right now, you can get a free cooler with purchase. That's while supplies last. And if you go to builtbar.com and enter in promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's code LOCKEDON at builtbar.com for 20% off your next order. Again, can't recommend it enough. Banana Bread Cookies and Cream, two of my absolute favorites if you're looking to start somewhere. Also want to tell you about OhioVersusEveryone.com, and it's a new website that launched on August 1st. Again, OhioVersusEveryone.com. The site covers all Ohio sports and pop culture. They have in-depth, interesting articles about the Cavs, the Browns, the Indians, the Reds, the Bengals, the Buckeyes, and more. Right now on the site, you can get a ton of great Cleveland-focused stuff. There's potential trade ideas for the Browns, analyzing Isaac Okoro, five things that went wrong for the Indians. There's just a whole bunch of great stuff if you want to go there. It's all your favorite teams, all in one site. And because they cover all the teams, they only bring you the best, most interesting topics. Check them out. Again, it's OhioVersusEveryone.com. That's OhioVersusEveryone.com.
All right, we are back in our final segment of Thursday, that's correct, episode of Locked On Cavs. And we're going to talk about free agent Andre Roberson, who probably wouldn't be available for what the Cavs are willing to offer in free agency this year if he didn't suffer a ruptured patellar tendon back in 2018 and then multiple setbacks in from his surgeries and procedures, where it was a bit of a feel-good story when he came into the bubble. And I like kind of what he brings to the table as a defensive wing. And in his terms of history with Cleveland, I remember when the Cavs played Oklahoma City on national TV and the Cavs kept intentionally fouling him to get extra possessions because he was bricking every free throw. But I wouldn't hate the addition of Andre Roberson. I think he'd be a good veteran mentor for players like Kevin Porter, players like Colin Sexton, maybe even Darius Garland as well, just like to teach them how to, even Jetty and Windler too. Like Andre could teach them how to play basic defense or help, like, you know, especially Kevin Porter tap into his potential as a wing defender. I like that, but I also could see Roberson either sticking out with OKC or being like a cheaper option for a team like Brooklyn or a team like the Lakers or the team like the Clippers. Like, I think Roberson might have a very vast market in terms of contenders because what he brings to the table in terms of perimeter defense is valuable, especially with Golden State coming back.
Yeah, I think he's if I'm him and I'm his camp, the Cavs are not on like the list of teams that I'm like jonesing to get a meeting with. But And for the Cavs, he also doesn't, like, jive with their timeline, right? Like, he's going to be 29 at the end of next season. He'd been out since 2018. If he's healthy, like, he's a high-level, really strong defender. If he could, like, I think if for the it's, like, a one-year kind of thing if you wanted to do it. Like, maybe it's a guy that comes in and, like, you pay him a little more. You trade him at the deadline somewhere. But he comes in, he can kind of, if he's willing to do it, and that's kind of, I don't know Andre, I can't speak to like what his kind of optimal situation would be, but if he was willing to come in and like mentor Isaac Okoro, let's say they take him, and help KPJ learn defense and just help all the young guys, like, that's not a really bad thing. The problem is also just that, like, he's a straight up liability on the offensive end. In 18-19, 23.5% on catch and shoot threes, 0.9 a game. Like, there's nothing there that he's really helping you with, and I don't. The Cavs are not a team that can overcome that, and it's for any team, frankly, I think it's really hard to overcome a guy on the floor, especially a wing, who just doesn't shoot like that. So, you know, I think cheap 1 year deal, and you could flip him later at the deadline for a team that in search of wing defense if and when injuries happen. I think it makes sense, but I don't know. If I'm him, I just guess we don't know like what his interest would be in this kind of situation. When he, you know, maybe he goes to a contender as kind of wing depth and chases a ring in that way. I also don't think he's probably, like, just because of what he is in the injury history, I don't even think the money for him is going to be like super robust anyway.
No, I don't really think it will be either. It's actually an interesting question. We talked about this a while back, where every time Andre Drummond takes a three, it's as bad as a turnover. Do you think every time Andre Roberson, like, attempts a three-pointer, or, you know, just attempts a jump shot in general, he more than likely will miss, is that as bad as a turnover in your opinion?
Yeah, because if you just watch games of his and when he played in the playoffs with OKC, like, teams just leave him alone, and you're sort of playing 4 and 5 on offense when he's on the floor. And again, he doesn't bring like another secondary skill. Like he doesn't bring passing. He doesn't bring like really good finishing. He doesn't like Derrick Jones Jr., who can't shoot either. He doesn't bring the vertical spacing or the cutting. Like he just kind of is a body, and then he's providing all of his value on the other end of the floor. Like even I would argue like David Nwaba provided a little more on offense than Roberson does.
Yeah, that's the problem in itself, and we stress this a lot with this mid-level exception the Cavs have to play with. This is going to be a rotational piece or a player that they sign that they expect to be a heavy contributor in the rotation. And yeah, Andre Roberson probably still has that elite defensive ability, but like offensively, he's going to be a total liability for the Cavs and a team that already has enough lumps to begin with on both sides of the ball. Like you can't have one player who's a liability on one end but is okay on the other one, especially with like the patellar tendon injury. Like that's a serious injury to recover from. And yes, he looked okay in under the bubble with the Thunder, but it wasn't like anything earth-shattering to see him play. And I don't think he played much, if at all, for Oklahoma City when they went to the playoffs against Houston. So I don't think Oklahoma City was fully like sold on him being 100% either. So yeah, we have like an ongoing flow chart about like that we've talked about at least about players that we are in or out on, and I think I'm out on Andre Roberson. Like I'd like him as a veteran if he wasn't expected to be an immediate contributor to this rotation, but since he is, if they use the mid-level exception on him to like really throw money at him to come to Cleveland, yeah, I'm out on him, and he will be joining Pat Connaughton for many non-personal reasons with Andre Roberson, but he'll be joining Pat Connaughton on players I'm out of for free agents with the Cavs.
So there won't be a vulgarity in your is that even a word? I don't know. But are you just, there's not going to be a swear word in your audio file this time?
No. I'll be like, I'll name this one and I'll screenshot it as proof with, I have no feelings one way or another about Andre Roberson.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think if you could do it for like a year and like $5 million as part of the mid-level, like that's fine. I'm indifferent to him. I would rather, and I think like in a vacuum, just because of the money and everything like that, like I almost would rather like just do the 1 year Roberson thing versus the Connaughton thing. Cause I think Connaughton probably ends up costing a little more, and that's just speculation. I don't know, but Derrick Jones Jr. for me is still the only guy we've talked about that I'm just like, yeah, like that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, wait, once we start talking about big guys, if Tristan Thompson makes it clear he's not coming back, you're going to hear me start hyping up some big men. I'm like Kobe Altman. I don't know how to construct a roster. That's not true. I shouldn't say that. I'm like Kobe Altman. I like to add big men to my roster, too.
We have a fun list, I'll say. I would say next week, there are two bigs on the list next week.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, baby. But
one who I'd forgotten was in the NBA, frankly.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm going to pull up the spreadsheet so I see if it's the same one.
But I think our Roberson talk is a good place to leave it, Evan.
I think so, too. Are you talking about Willie Hernan Gomez?
I am talking about Willie Hernan Gomez.
I hadn't forgot about him. I think he's an all right player. But okay, yeah, no, I think that's...
After watching tape and doing some notes on him, I would agree.
Willie...
I'm just saying next week's episodes, starting off with Kendon asking us questions and then the various players we're talking about, it's gonna be the Lockdown Cavs is like a little weird week.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, I'll be saying let's free Willie, and I'll get the free Willie movement going ahead of time. Not in decent exposure to the player, but I think that's a good place for us to wrap up. Chris, is there anything you want to say to the fine folks at home before we lead them into book club for Friday?
Yeah, don't be Jeffrey Toobin.
Free Willie.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Please vote. Black Lives Matter. Be nice to everyone. Even if you don't always agree with everyone, just also like put some kindness out in the world. There's just a lot of bad vibes out in 2020. And please wear a mask and be safe and be well, everyone.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you again for listening. If you're a first-time listener after checking us out on WKOC, welcome. We're not always so straight-laced. We're a little bit more laid-back and fun when the cameras aren't on. And
most episodes don't feature Jeffrey Toobin jokes. And if you don't understand that, don't even bother looking up because you will not be able to stop thinking about it after you look it up.
Say, like, don't get fired at work if you're looking it up at work. So save it for after hours. Yeah, something like that. But until next time, I'm Evan Damorell. He's Chris Manning. Thanks again for listening, and go Cavs.